And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, covering down to some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean, goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to what we can now call, once again, Fort Benning. Oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, watching the show live streaming like I am right now. You can see me sitting in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., but live streaming the show every single day, catching what we have to say, but also watching what we do in places like Facebook and X and YouTube and Rumble. And listen, folks, there's a bunch of y'all that podcast the show after the fact. I say all of that every single time. Hear me when I say it. I say it to show that we recognize where you are and we appreciate it, because there's no reason why we would do this if you weren't there. So thank you very much. I don't know if you could hear the coffee gurgling in the background, JP, but I have coffee being made right now in the room.
We cannot. So that's I guess that's a plus.
I may have to step away from the microphone a minute and go ahead and get my coffee.
Wait. But, you're telling me CNN didn't have a personal coffee guy in your hotel room to handle your coffee desires?
I don't want to brag or anything, but you know, no.
Ah, that's a shame.
But they do treat me well. I am not at all complaining. I mean, they've got me flown up here again, and this time it's D.C. actually, and so yeah, those of y'all that are watching after hours, just listen, tune in tonight, 9 o'clock Central Time, News Night with Abby Phillip as the host, and I will be on. I'm not even sure who the panel is going to be tonight, but I am definitely one of the conservatives on the panel, if not the conservative on the panel tonight. So yeah, should be fun. News Night with Abby Phillip, CNN, 9 p.m. Lots of talk about the Russia, U.S., Trump, Putin gathering. Should be good. You got some text messages for me, man? I can't see them from where I'm at. Give me some messages. What do we got?
Let's see. Well, first we got Mike from Coxie, Alabama. It says, Colonel Phil, I can only imagine that if I were there, I would be so nervous I couldn't even talk. But I'll bet Trump is as cool as a cucumber. This is where he's most comfortable. This is his strong point.
You know what? That's amazing. I don't know if Trump gets nervous. He doesn't show it. Think about this. He speaks to crowds of tens and tens of thousands. You know, he does things on the world stage. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he gets nervous. Maybe he does. But he doesn't show it, does he?
No. And if you're Trump, I think if you've secured many multi-million dollar deals with a handshake, I'm not saying that this isn't bigger than a multi-million dollar deal, but I'm just saying, you know, if you've been in those waters before, I think he's fine. I think he's made a career doing that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. And, you know, I said that too this morning on my morning drive, which I do every morning. If you're watching our social media, you can catch my thoughts on the morning drive. Today was on some things that I'll talk about here in a few minutes. But one of the things that I said about the Trump-Putin meeting was, this is what Trump does. He has built an entire life out of walking into high-pressure meetings, already knowing when he gets there what he wants the outcome to be, and having his, you know, six different versions of how to get there, and having done his homework first, and also knowing, by the way, what pressure points he can bring. This is what he does. This is why, I mean, I said it so many times during the Biden era. Joe Biden, it was so obvious, had never led anything in his entire life. He had never once cut a paycheck. He had never once ever had a moment where he had to run the company, make the budget, do the things. He enjoyed what I called for years, rhetoric without responsibility. He could literally say whatever he wanted to say at the microphone and walk away, and nobody would have any reason to believe that he had to be held responsible for it later. Rhetoric without responsibility. And then all of a sudden he was sitting in the Oval Office, never led a thing. Suddenly he's allegedly leading everything. And I look back on this and I think, the amount of damage that was done and the amount of things that were left undone over the last 4 years. Well, Trump's playing cleanup, and this is what he does.
We also got a Bruce from Springville. Says that only foolish entities want to rewrite or destroy history. The only way we can remain secure as a nation is to remember it and arm ourselves to prevent repeating it.
Absolutely. I think one of the first things you saw when Trump came in was he didn't rush to go meet with Putin, right? He's been in for 6 months. Now, he has been working the issue, certainly. But he's also been putting a lot of the foundations in place that give him now the leverage to do what he met with NATO first. He secured new NATO agreements. He's met with Zelensky multiple times. He has done any number of things to try and bolster our military and put ourselves back in a position of strength. He's doing things to get us in the energy sector away from the ability of Putin's energy sector to impact us. And also, oh, by the way, give us the ability to fill gaps once he puts sanctions on Putin's energy sector. So all said and done, Trump's been laying the groundwork. It's like he's been moving the chess pieces. Now he's bringing the queen out, and we'll wait and see how it goes.
Next, we got Allie from Athens says, excellent history lesson, Colonel, and I definitely hope they do what you have suggested. Many thanks, and have fun in the Big Apple.
Ah, thank you very much. And I'm not even in the Big Apple this time, Allie. Sure. I'm sitting up here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Yeah, CNN, I'm not sure why, but CNN said, hey, same show, but could you do it in D.C.? And I'm like, you're the one buying the plane ticket. Why not? So here I am. But yeah. I'll be back in studio with you, JP, on Monday morning, but at the same time, doing the gig up here right now.
Next, we got John from Huntsville. John with an N, not an H, so not the grade giver John, different John. But he says that he Googled the time zone, and he's letting us know that the Alaska time zone they're in is currently 4 hours behind Eastern time. So there's
4 hours behind Eastern, so 3 hours. Yeah, 3 hours behind us then. Yeah, okay.
Next, we got Shag Nasty the Atheist. He's making a joke out of the guy who threw the sandwich, the Subway sandwich. He said, was it a club sandwich? With a laughing emoji there. So,
you know, give Shag some laughter for that. You know, give the man some props. A club sandwich. I am, Shag, good on you. I will say this. I did post something this morning earlier that said that after the attack with the Subway sandwich, Democrats are calling for a ban on assault sandwiches.
yeah. Surely, yeah. They're going to ban all sandwiches though, in D.C. after that. We got two more real quick. Joe in Tennessee says, to the Maryland men who might be listening, Trump's message is de guejo un poquito más, which is no quarter to the max, Joe C. in Tennessee.
Wow.
And then last one, we got Dave from Capshaw says, did you notice that Trump's red carpet was wide and Putin's looked like to be about 18 inches wide?
I did see that. I was a little curious. I was trying to figure out what just happened. I didn't know if that was because they just needed like a double wide carpet and they pulled out part of one. I don't know. But it did have an odd effect. But, you know, hey, and I'll tell you, too, I think it's significant they're meeting at a U.S. military base.
Yes, absolutely.
On U.S. soil. We'll cover all this stuff here over the next few minutes. But JP, any more text messages before I go?
Nope, we're good to go.
All right, listen, we're going to cover a lot of ground on this, and I got to tell you, you're going to wind up having people that are going to, you know, and I get it. There are every version. Let's just say all you're talking to is what I would call Republicans or people on the center right. Even on the center right, there's disagreement. On the center right, you have people who believe, you know, like Lindsey Graham's quite the war hawk. Lindsey Graham's ready to send troops, it seemed like, not long ago. I don't think he really feels that way now. But you've got people who are war hawks that would send our troops in a heartbeat. You've got people that are on the farther end of the spectrum, isolationists, who believe that there's never a time when we need to have an engaged opportunity that could bring military strength to bear. Then there's those who, and this is where I sit, is I am in the middle. I do not want to see expeditionary force. I do not want to see the United States launching troops. I've got family members in the military right now. I don't want to see that. I've already been to war twice myself. I don't want to see that. But I also recognize that when someone's house is on fire next door, if you're not careful, it can spread. And so you do what you can to try and stop it. The problem that we had with the Biden administration, and we'll talk about this more after the break, but the problem we have with the Biden administration is, again, when you've never led anything before, when you don't know how to make the deal, well, what that really means is you're not sure what force you can bring, or you don't have any experience in coming to the table and being the one who's trying to leverage. You're not doing shuttle diplomacy with any effectiveness. And that's what we saw the last 4 years. Their entire proposal was not to talk to Putin and to just say, don't. Remember that? The press conference, what would you say to Vladimir Putin about invading? I say, don't.
He said it to Iran too, to everybody.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? They did. So don't work. And the other thing that they did was when don't didn't work, they just opened up the checkbook, started writing money, just sending money. Was there any accountability? No. Was there any milestone, any phase lines? No. Was there any battle plan that we could see that we were spending money? No. I'll tell you in a little while, as we get back from the break, how Trump has revamped all of that. This literally changed the dynamic. In the meantime, take me to a break there, brother. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Got to talk about a couple things. I tell you what, let's do this, JP. Let's set the stage for the meeting, first of all. There are a lot of visuals to what we're seeing right now. Part of the visual is the fact that this particular summit is being held on U.S. soil, not just on U.S. soil. It's being held on U.S. soil in Alaska, which, oh, by the way, there have been past experiences with Russia where they sort of felt like they had lost part of Alaska to the United States. Oh, then there's the fact that it's on a military base. That's just all a visual that is by design. It's absolutely by design. But then there's other things that are happening. And I don't know what else we're going to see, because I think that Trump likes to play, well, I think Putin does too. Trump likes to play, you know, sort of like the mind game piece. And I applaud that. I think you should keep him on their heels. But you were telling me something during the break, JP, that I had kind of missed, that they had a bit of a visual moment there, right, as they were shaking hands.
Yeah, so I'll put the video up on the stream so everybody can see it. But, yeah, apparently so when Trump and Putin were walking up to the stage, a B-2 flew over their heads. And
oh, it's not just a B-2. It's got a fighter escort, too.
Yes. So, you know, I think that might be the biggest power play I've ever seen. Yeah, that's like a gentle reminder to Putin. You mentioned it being on a military base being a big deal, but, like, that too being a big deal of like, you're on my territory. It's just a gentle reminder, you know, you're dealing with the United States of America here. So I don't know. Yeah. That is quite the power play. That may be the biggest power play I've ever seen. Honestly,
of course, the Russian president step off there, to on the red carpet there, right next to a whole, you know, rack of F-35 Raptor fighter planes.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. Now, I did see, though, speaking of visuals, from Putin's standpoint, two things. One is there's a report in the New York Post that one of Putin's top aides who is on the trip actually was seen wearing a USSR shirt today or sweatshirt today. Well, okay, the Soviet Union? Really? So one of the top aides on the trip is wearing a former Soviet Union sweatshirt? That's odd, unusual. But then the other piece is Putin went and laid flowers at a memorial. Now, keep in mind, in World War I and World War II, we were allies. You can go back and look at it, and there were times when our allied ship was, you know, somewhat rocky, but nonetheless, we had, you know, the enemy of our enemy was definitely our friend, and that was Russia. Putin went yesterday, I believe it was, and laid a wreath at a memorial that is designed, this memorial is designed to celebrate the union between the U.S. and Russia in fighting back the Nazis. And you look at that and go, okay, was that something that was already pre-planned? Or is he just trying to posture for the world that, hey, by the way, us in the United States, we've been like this before, you know? We're like tight. We're like buds. I don't know. All I know is there's a lot of visuals going on here that are more than subliminal. In fact, I would say, JP, that the whole thing with the B-2 stealth bomber with a fighter escort flying over in formation right as they get off the plane, that's more than the visual. That's in your face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you kind of see Putin look up and be a little bit surprised. Like, there's not very, very many times I've seen Putin be, like, reactive and, like, caught off guard. I think that, like, there's one of the few times I've seen Putin actually be like, whoa, what is that? but I think them walking past the jets, too, and being on a military base, like, that is all part of the Trump, like, that shows like he knows what he's doing in terms of making deals. You're coming into Trump's territory. Trump's not going to meet in some, you know, neutral territory in Europe or something. Like, you're going to a U.S. military base. We're going to fly a B-2 over your head and just show you like who that Trump is dictating things in this meeting. I think that's what he's trying to show. So
I think absolutely
whatever you think about Trump's showmanship, or if you want to call it that or whatever, like, he knows what he's doing in this aspect of making deals. So I think that is playing into it 100%.
Well, speaking of Trump maintaining the position of leverage, and by the way, is there something for us to gain here? Probably, but the reality is he's playing the role of the mediator. So he's not the one who wants the war against his own people ended, but he definitely wants the war ended. And we do have vested interests over there. Don't think we don't. That being said, Trump has never been one to sit at the table when he feels like nothing's being done in good faith. I've been in, I can't tell you how many mediations, none of which have the import of this thing, but I've been in multiple mediations where at some point you just look at your client and go, let's go. There's nothing happening here. Why are we staying? If you remember a few years back during his first administration, I think it was 2019, Trump was at a summit with Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea. They were talking about denuclearization. Trump did not feel like North Korea was acting in good faith. So he got up and left the table, and the North Korean delegation was left sitting there by themselves. And that can happen. And Trump's even said today he'll do it. JP, do we have time to play that video that I sent you a little while ago? If we do.
We do, yes.
All right, let's go ahead and put that up. This is Donald Trump on Air Force One talking to Brett Baer and even discussing whether he would leave the table if he had to. Play it.
Okay, in the office with President Trump on Air Force One, heading in, what's your initial feeling? How are you feeling about what you're going to get out of this?
I think we're going to do very well. Our country is doing very well. We're setting records economically like we never have before, including the stock markets are all at a record high. We're taking in trillions and trillions of dollars with tariffs. We're going for a meeting with President Putin in Alaska. And I think it's going to work out very well. And if it doesn't, I'm going to head back home real fast.
I mean, if it doesn't, you walk.
I would walk too.
All right. There you go. You know, there are some people that look at the Putin, I mean, at the Kim Jong-un thing when he got up and left the table. And it was definitely a power move. It was definitely a why are you wasting my time move. But it was also North Korea, which wants to be a player on the world stage, but in reality is really not in many ways. They're not an economic force. They don't have the ability to leverage anything. They're an isolated hermit kingdom, but they do have nukes. So he did that to North Korea. But he just said right now, and he said it openly to a member of the media, if that happens with Putin, one of our almost near peer adversaries, I mean, they are, but they aren't. But he said that as to Putin, if it came down to it, he'd get up and walk away from the table. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how this goes. JP, I don't recall. How long is this summit supposed to last? Is it like 2 days? What is it? Do you know?
No, I believe it's supposed to be a one-day thing. I could be wrong and go back and look at the schedule here. Yeah. But yeah, at least like the Trump and Putin aspect of it is supposed to be 1 day. There may be some, you know, aides or some after the fact to clean up, or if there's any deal made to write things out or something. I don't know. But I think the Trump-Putin part will just be a one-day event.
Well, we're going to come back for this next break, and I can't see the clock, so JP, you tell. Yeah, so we're going to come back for this next break, and listen, I'm going to go down a road that I've gone down before, but I want to make you guys, I want to give you guys what it takes to be a semi-expert on talking about foreign policy, because there are certain things that have to be considered in all of this, certain things that Trump is definitely bringing in, certain things that the Biden administration and even other world governments right now are not bringing in. All said and done, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live, safely ensconced in a remote location in our nation's capital right now. But yeah, Right Side Radio, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. I don't even know where hour number one went. That's just crazy. It's been a day. I'm listening. I'm working on the show early this morning. I was working on the show late last night. I got on a plane this morning. I flew to DC. I got off the plane. I got to the hotel. I fought with the internet trying to get the Wi-Fi up. And literally JP and I made connectivity. What, JP, like a minute before we went on the air?
Pretty much, yeah. Maybe like 2 or 3 minutes, yeah.
Whoop, whoop. I mean, you're living on the edge, dude. That's, you know what? we're on, aren't we?
Hey,
that's nothing but good.
I think that means we played it perfectly. Right in.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and accept that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sitting here, by the way. I got several notes of things that are happening in the Trump Putin, but I know you've got some text messages too. So give me what you got right now from our listeners.
We got just a couple of text messages that came in. Tom with all the kids talking about you and being in D.C. over New York. He said, "In spite, or maybe it's despite the crime, I'd take D.C. over New York any day." So you go.
Fair enough. I'll receive that. And yeah, I love D.C. I mean. I want to see D.C. become like the jewel that it was, and in many ways still is. But I'm excited about the fact that Trump has taken a personal interest in seeing the actual city itself get cleaned, not just like politics, but the city get cleaned up. I mean, I'm loving this. So bring it.
We got Randy from Madison, too. So just to be clear, we paid $7.2 million in 1867 for Alaska. That's $158 million in today's money. In case some of our liberal listeners failed to study history, Randy from Madison.
We paid $7.2 million. Is that what he said?
$7.2 million, which is $158 million in today's money. So
even $158 million, that'd be a deal.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. So, I don't think Russia quite knew what they were giving away.
So what's it going to take for us to buy British Columbia away from Canada and then buy Greenland? Let's go buy Greenland. I like Greenland. Let's buy Greenland.
I don't know. I feel like after we got away with that steal of a lifetime with Alaska, they're not going to let us get away with anything.
Nothing still beats the Louisiana Purchase, though. Yeah. That's like half a continent got purchased in one day. And you know what's funny? It was throwaway land. It was throwaway land that the French were like, you silly Americans. Here, give us some money for our coffers. And now look, how do you like us now?
Yeah, exactly. And we got one more text here. It says, Ken from Harvest says, speaking about the visuals at the Trump-Putin summit, being subtle is great as long as you're not too obvious about it.
Being subtle is great as long as you're not too I gotta process that for a minute.
I don't know if there's anything subtle about flying a B-2 stealth bomber over the president of Russia.
Nothing. So, yeah. Nothing. That is so in your face. Hey, listen, a couple of things that are happening right now in and around and amongst this situation we got with the Trump-Putin meeting. I think one of the things that needs to be remembered, and let's talk serious about it for a minute. When people tell you, well, he shouldn't be going to meet with Putin, keep in mind, Putin's the one who asked for the meeting. He did. Putin's the one who asked for the meeting. He knows that there are more tariffs, there are more sanctions that are possible. General Jack Keane gave some amazing insight on this just the other day, I believe on Fox. But yeah, seeing everything that Trump's going to be using in terms of carrot and sticks is a big, big deal. Russia right now has a very precarious situation. Their economy is not solid. And the level of what I would call home support for the war is back and forth. You can't have 1.2 million in casualties, of which 250,000 are dead soldiers. You can't have 250,000 dead soldiers, even in a country that is semi-totalitarian like Russia, and expect that everyone's going to remain happy. So Putin, what he's dealing with right now is he needs a win. So the question for Putin right now is, how do I prevent my nation from going into economic collapse because Joe Biden's not there anymore? And suddenly I've got the guy who uses tariffs, you know, like it's, you know, just the next best thing since sliced bread. And what's it going to do to my economy if he does? Well, he's going to. He could see interest rates like shooting 20% up. He could see any number of things that are just like blowing out his economy. Putin could. He can't pay for soldiers if that happens. He can't have soldiers show. By the way, their reserves are getting depleted. They're having soldiers showing up to the front lines with only 2 to 3 weeks of training, says Jack Keane. That's contributing to their casualty rate, certainly. I mean, it's turning into a grist mill on those front lines. And those front lines, by the way, we're talking about conventional warfare, force on force, trenches, reinforced positions, tanks. When's the last time you saw that level? We had some moderate amount of that during Desert Storm, but we blew right through the Iraqis. This is taking things to a whole new level, and it's carnage. I will tell you, too, General Jack Keane also said that Ukraine is actually applauding what Trump is doing, and they believe Trump has their back. And I think, you remember we had that blow-up, which was like, wow, that just happened when Zelensky came to the Oval Office. And I understand, on the one hand, I'll give him a tad of a space here. Zelensky never should have walked into the Oval Office with an attitude. But I understand he'd been in a place where he had everything he needed. And he had people who loved on him and like kissed both cheeks and wrote him checks and, you know, and let him come speak to Congress, you know, wearing a sweatshirt and the whole thing. And that was gone. So there was definitely some, Cinderella moment there where suddenly everything turned back into a pumpkin. But what I'm seeing right now, though, is that over time, Zelensky has modified his approach. He has at times bucked up and said, yeah, but he also recognizes it's a whole new day. But Zelensky has now seen what Trump is doing. So here's a couple of pieces I want you guys to put this in your quiver when you're having the conversations. Trump laid the foundation for today's meeting weeks and months ago. Well, if you get down to it, he laid the foundation throughout his life because he knows how to do high-pressure meetings. But Trump laid the foundation for the ability to come into this discussion with a position of strength, because what he did was he put all the building blocks he needed to have in place first. First thing he did was rebolster our energy sector and begin getting us away from any reason to rely upon external sourcing for our oil and gas. He also began to move us into alliances that Putin can't deal with. So he got us back in there with Saudi Arabia. He got us back in there with the OPEC nations. And we're watching now to see how that develops. He also, oh, by the way, put a complete butt whooping on anything related to Iran. And Putin got to watch that from a distance and go, oh, crap. He will bomb things when he has to. He will call for negotiations, and when they won't negotiation, Putin can watch and go, and he'll actually blow stuff up. And then what I would also point out is that Trump spent a great deal of time building up NATO. NATO is an entirely different position. And, oh, by the way, the EU. So the NATO Secretary General and the EU have both now met with President, and both have expressed their 100% willingness to pick up more of the load and recognize that it's their front, all right? What's happening over there is their front, not ours. And that we'll be there, but they are accepting the fact that there's a new sheriff in town who is saying, I am not going to keep writing checks. My people don't deserve that. Your people have got to do more. And so NATO nations, with the exception of Spain, are now upping their commitments to their own defense spending. Trump also quit just sending stuff for free, just like in mass. How much you want? We'll send it, and sending it to Ukraine and hoping it actually gets employed or, you know, put in their bank account. No. More of what's happening now is the sale of weapons and other, you know, war material to NATO nations, who are then turning around and making them available themselves. In other words, we're getting paid for them. So we may not be able to sell them to, like, Abrams tanks. Let's take that for a bit. We may not be able to sell an Abrams tank right now under Trump's guidelines direct to Ukraine, but we can sell them to Poland. And then Poland can turn around and go, you know, we're going to go ahead and sell that to Ukraine. In the meantime, we got paid first. That's a huge deal. That is not what happened before with the Biden administration. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back from this break. I feel like that segment just flew by. We're going to take this break. We're going to come right back. And when we get back from this break, what I want to do is start getting into, what is Trump going to the table with? What is he bringing to bear? And how does he bring it all to bear in a way that Putin realizes who the boss is? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I understand we got somebody on the line. Is that Sparky from Harvest is on the line, JP? Let's go ahead and stick him on there, man. Sparky, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm outstanding. I actually carried this all into a Publix with me here. Not to give a free plug to a business, but hey, you have great points about the Russian summit and Russia's current economic standing, which is poor. But one thing I would add that's really poor for them is people in my generation always thought, the former Soviet, the Russian tank army, they're much vaunted. They're so tough. They're going to be impossible to beat. They revealed within a matter of months of starting this war that they're not all that at all.
Yeah.
And like you said, incredibly depleted. They don't stand on the world stage as a military force to be feared anymore. So I think that's a big kick in the
kick. Isn't that amazing? I mean, yeah, Sparky, you and I came up in the Cold War military where we kind of half expected the Soviet hordes to come through the fold of gap, and look at it now. It's really the teeth are out of the bear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I served in the 80s in the GDP for that fold of gap. So I know every square inch of the B-40 Valley.
Yeah, I bet you do. And back then you had to memorize it, but yeah, it's a whole new day. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to underestimate that they have no capabilities whatsoever, but the reality is there was all that talk about how they were going to march into Kiev within 4 days. And here we are, what, 3.5 years later, and they are just getting hammered.
Yeah. I don't think they're negotiating from a position of strength. But Trump being a bit of a madman himself, he has to realize he's dealing with an even worse madman with Putin. So this is going to be very interesting, I think.
Yeah, but he's our madman.
He is our madman. And I'm happy as can be to have him as our commander-in-chief. And I know my rest of my military too, family, our Navy granddaughter, extremely happy.
I am too, man. Hey, Sparky, appreciate you as always. Thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right, you and JP, have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, bud. Hey, JP, before I jump on any more content, do you have any text messages we need to know about?
Yeah, we got a couple that came in here. Oh, by the way, Ken from Harvest had to correct me earlier. He was actually saying, speaking about the visuals, being subtle is great as long as you are obvious about it, not as long as
you're not obvious. Oh, as long as you are obvious.
So I missed it, so there you go. By the way, Matt Madison also said, hey, Phil, do you carry any personal protection when you go to these dangerous cities? What is your choice for personal carry?
I shall not reveal. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I've got a couple of personal carries, but what I do on trips is not what I'm going to announce while I'm on the trip. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going to say.
But I have, for times when I have to wear something small, like in an ankle holster, I do have a 380 subcompact that I carry, and then I have a Glock 19 9mm that I prefer when I've got larger carry, and who knows what else.
Anything that, let's just say you had to get on a plane to get over there. So you didn't have anything that would not get you on a plane. I'll just say that.
I got here, didn't I? Yes, so exactly. I guess not. you can actually ship your weapon with you, but you just can't carry it on the plane, obviously. So, yeah.
We got Robert from Ardmore said, I heard a reporter ask Trump about rare earth minerals in Alaska the other day. Why in the world would we give Russia anything to end the war? We do not owe them a thing.
Rare earth minerals in Alaska or in Ukraine?
Probably Ukraine is what he meant to say.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to give him parts of Alaska. I can tell you that.
No.
So, for those who don't recall, that's a great point. You may remember that a little while back, there was this talk that we were about to sign a major mining deal with Ukraine. This was a piece that I thought was brilliant, and who knows, it may still come back. But what we discovered, what has been discovered in recent years is that one of the largest rare earth deposits in the world is in eastern Ukraine. And it's also very close to the fighting zones in the Donbass region, in Donetsk, in Luhansk. If you look at the map, you'll see it. But these rare earth minerals are filled up with things like lithium and other rare earths that are so incredibly important now for the modern age, for making things like conductor chips and EV batteries and whatever else. Anyway, we were going to negotiate an opportunity where the United States would come in and we would harvest and mine those rare earths and share the profits with Ukraine, which would be huge on both sides. We would then not have to worry about getting it from China. The other thing this did, though, and here's a piece. I'll tell you what, this is a great thing to chase. That's a chess move, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. But the reason why that's a chess move is because Putin does not want to see the United States beginning to occupy militarily on his doorstep, and I understand that. However, if suddenly there was a massive multi-billion, maybe up to $1 trillion mining operation that the U.S. had a vested interest in right next door, it would absolutely mean that if Putin aggressed across the borders even further into our economic interests, that the United States would have no choice but to say something, and he would know that. So here we were looking at A, making money, B, getting away from dependency on China for rare earth minerals, and C, putting something kind of out there that Putin realizes in a backdoor sense creates a U.S. interest that he better not mess with. Now, that has gone by the wayside, but it's also really important, first of all, that we quell the fighting, because the fighting is very close to that region. So more to come on that one, but that's the whole thing about the rare earth minerals.
We got one more text here. Dave from Capshaw. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a old quote coming up with during Trump and Hillary Clinton's debate, where she said that if Trump could broker a deal without giving Russia any of Ukraine's land, that she would personally nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize. So now people are wondering, if somehow Trump was able to pull a rabbit out of his hat today and do such a thing, if Hillary Clinton would live up to what she said and actually nominate him for Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, two things on that. One is he already deserves the Nobel Peace Prize, in my opinion, but he certainly deserves it more than Obama, who got it for being a week in office.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if Hillary said it, well, her lips were moving, therefore she was lying.
Yeah, so that's true. Yeah.
I would not hold my breath and look for Hillary to be the one to mail in the application with her notary stamp on it. Just saying. All right, listen. Wow, that segment flew by. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. I still got some stuff on this. I'm trying to school you guys up and make you experts on foreign policy, but stand by. We got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call now, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Oh, by the way, that's just the radio. That's just all y'all out there in the radio world. But listen, there's a whole lot of y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web every day. And you dial in on the show. You can actually watch us live streaming. And we're places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. Okay, I know there's also a bunch of y'all that podcast too and catch it after the fact and catch up on things you missed. Here's the bottom line. We know it. We can see it. We are absolutely thankful for the fact that you guys do that. It means the world to us. So thank you very much for getting the show wherever you get it. I gotta jump on something here, JP. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know what? First of all, I need to tell this. We have a new ad running right now, a couple of them for 1819 News. And I got to go ahead to tell you, 1819 News is doing some very cool stuff right now. They are an amazing news network. If you're not familiar, 1819 News is giving you what I would call truth in the news across the state of Alabama. So for those of you all that are Alabama-centric in terms of what's happening in your backyard, who's running for governor, what are they saying on this, what's the crime, real reporting, 1819news.com. 1819 is also having their annual gala this coming fall. They are a nonprofit, believe it or not, and they're raising money for their operations. And they're bringing in none other than Tucker Carlson to be the keynote speaker. So that's going to be an amazing event. But one of the things they're also doing, you guys, is they're giving you an opportunity. All of you, listen up. I've got an amazing opportunity for you. They are raffling off right now a two-day, basically it's a one-day, two-night excursion to Mar-a-Lago. You heard me, to Mar-a-Lago. It comes with a romantic candlelight dinner. It comes with a spa treatment. It comes with any number of amenities. Mar-a-Lago, it's a $20,000 package. Absolutely amazing. but the fact is, it costs $500 to jump in the raffle, and you can do it between now and November 14th. $500 to win a $20,000 package. You couldn't get a deal like that anywhere, and it's at Mar-a-Lago. So anyway, you want to know more? Go to 1819news.com/raffle. That's 1819news/raffle. So yeah, check it out. Our friends at 1819 got it going on. All right, before I jump into some content here, I got to tell you, I'm going to make one correction. a moment ago. Who was that that texted in about the mineral resources, JP?
Let me see. That was Robert from Ardmore who texted in.
Okay, Robert, I'm going to go ahead and apologize because now I recognize what you were asking about. I thought you were referring to the mineral rights that I discussed at length a moment ago for the U.S. to mine the mineral rights in the Donbass region of Ukraine. I think what he's talking about is actually there's a story that broke this morning on Newsweek and another one in the Telegraph saying that there is anger. Of course, they're always trying to find the anger reason, right? There's anger out there that Donald Trump is preparing to offer Russian President Vladimir Putin economic incentives to include maybe even opening up access to our natural resources off the Alaskan coast. I don't know that it's true. The story was in the Telegraph, which is not exactly what I would call the best. But Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is reported to be exploring how we can do like some kind of economic trade-offs to give Russia in order to facilitate a ceasefire. I'm going to tell you, first of all, I mean, giving Putin access to rare earth minerals in Ukrainian territories is probably going to be real dicey because that means giving up land. But that's one of the things on the table. But then we have opportunities to tap into natural resources in the Bering Strait. And I don't know that we're going to give that away. Trump did say today that he is not going to be walking away from this meeting with a deal. He does not intend to give anything away. He's not going to also be asking for land to be swapped today. That's what he says. Now, they're already in their meetings. And these meetings are projected to last anywhere from 3 to 7 hours. And by the way, these meetings are not like the kind you see where you sit down and there's like 20 people on each side of the table and they stare at each other and they make formal opening statements. This is supposedly going to be just the two presidents and two interpreters, maybe one or two aides. So this is going to be a very close-held meeting. It's going to be more face-to-face. It's designed for the sole purpose of being able to look each other in the eye. And we'll see where it goes. Trump is a master negotiator. That's why he likes to talk about the art of the deal. Putin, though, is a master conniver. All right. Putin is a long career as a KGB agent in the old Soviet Union. He is not somebody who can be trusted, but he's also somebody who is somewhat desperate. I think if you get down to it, I think Putin really thought that he would wind up being the hero of the former Soviet Union, that he would launch this invasion into neighboring Ukraine, that he would claim that it was about pushing NATO away from our doorstep and rescuing those ethnic Russians who happened to live in Ukrainian territory. What he really wanted was stuff. He wanted what they had. He needs economics. He needs the agricultural land. He needs the nuclear power plants. He needs the rare earth minerals. He needs all of that. But it didn't quite go the way he planned. If you notice, he launched it within a year of Biden taking office, believing that he had literally on the heels of the Afghanistan pullout. Suddenly you've got Putin massing troops on the border of Ukraine. The whole world could see it happening. And the only thing Joe Biden could do is go, don't. And he did anyway. I think that Putin really thought that he would get this done well before Biden ever had a chance to leave office. He knew that when Obama Biden was in office, that he was able to take the Crimean Peninsula without any trouble. He had no way of knowing that Ukraine, and by the way, I've talked to Army officers who know. They said Ukraine is doing amazing things on the battlefield. Ukraine is being innovative. They are literally fixing stuff in the field that, you know, even U.S. soldiers wind up having to send back to the rear to the shop. They're driving forward. It's their home. That's why. They're defending their home. When I went to war, I was half a world away twice. If I got leave, I came out of the war zone. There is no coming out of the war zone for them. They can get in a vehicle and drive 30 minutes and go see mom. That's how close they are. So right now, I don't think Trump's going to wind up giving away anything. But to answer that original question, I apologize for rambling a little bit here. But what it appears was there are reports in the Telegraph that there is a plan to give away U.S. resources for Putin to exploit. And I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time imagining that to be true. JP, you got any more text messages or anything?
No, we're good for now.
Okay. Listen, we're going to wrap this topic up here in a few minutes, but I cannot underscore enough how important it is that this meeting go well, but that it go well in such a way that Putin does not walk away crowing. I don't think Trump wants to make Putin look bad on the world stage, but he's willing to. I don't think Trump is literally trying to bring him here to embarrass him, but he's not going to let him walk in and be the strong man on our turf. There's a thing that happens in shuttle diplomacy. The projection of foreign policy and the foreign power, it has to be accompanied by four things. And I've talked about this at length on the show. When we come back from this break, and JP, go ahead and begin moving us to our break and give me the thumbs up when you're ready, because I'm going to go ahead and take it about a minute early. But we'll take a break. I want to come back, and I want to wrap up this whole segment on the Trump-Putin thing by giving you sort of a serious foreign policy 101. What is happening? How do we do it? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower, man. Hey, listen, coming up after the top of the hour break, we're going to do some JP on sports. It's hard to believe we're almost through with 2 hours on a Friday afternoon, but it is a Friday, and we're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. By the way, I will be on CNN tonight. That's why you're seeing me if you're live streaming right now, sitting in a hotel room, because I'm doing the show remotely right now. Can't miss an opportunity to be with you guys, but it also means I may have to do it once in a while from outside the usual studio. So yeah, tonight, 9 p.m. Central Time, it is still fluid. I'll be honest with you. They're saying that just because the time change to Alaska, if there's breaking news of any kind at all, and they have to go to one of their, you know, reporters or anchors who's out there in Alaska right now, that it could flex a little bit. Bottom line is, currently I am scheduled to be on Newsnight with Abby Phillip, 9 p.m. tonight on CNN. So check it out. I'm going to wrap this up, this discussion about what's happening right now with the Trump-Putin meeting. Something that I've said on this show several times, and I want to make sure that you guys hear me say that. And by the way, JP just put up a video on the screen. JP, is that live right now, or is that being pulled from another source?
That was earlier, yeah, not okay. Live, but yeah, that was the scene when they left the wherever they initially shook hands, and now that is okay. Where it looks like right now is their meeting.
Okay. By the way, I do note that President Putin and President Trump both sit like men, as opposed to people like Macron and what's his name up in Canada that sit like girls. That's okay. That's an aside. We'll chase that rabbit another day. did I lose my feed? Are you good? Can you hear me?
No, you're good. Sorry. That's working on something. There we go.
JP, you still got me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
I think
yes,
you do.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Sorry. All right, great. I lost my video there for a second. I was making sure it wasn't me going away. Hey, let me break it down one step further, though. So here's the thing. I said it earlier in the projection of foreign policy on the world stage, in the geopolitical premises that we operate in. There is an acronym that you can often study, and you can see what Trump's bringing to bear. And that acronym is called DIME. And I know I've said it before, but take it into account. Now picture it in terms of this Trump-Putin summit. The DIME acronym, D-I-M-E, stands for diplomacy, intelligence. Some people say it's information, but whichever. Diplomacy, intelligence, military, and economic. All four of those have to be brought to bear. All four of those have to be leveraged effectively. All four of them have to be on the table. In terms of certain negotiations, let's say we're meeting with, you know, a smaller underprivileged nation, you may not necessarily need to see all four aspects of DIME. Not so with Putin. Putin will exploit the gap if one of those is not in place. The Biden administration had no idea how to do that. Trump is coming in, having established all four aspects so that he comes to the table knowing he has everything it takes, the whole buffet of options, a whole array of possibilities. He is bringing it all with him, all of dime. What am I talking about? Well, diplomacy, first of all. Diplomacy, there has been a great deal of back and forth. Secretary Rubio is there right now, too, in Alaska, along with Secretary Hegseth, and I believe Scott Bessent, who is our Treasury Secretary. But we are watching right now. Diplomacy has been ongoing, setting the stage. The fact that we even have this meeting is diplomacy. But the real diplomatic piece is the fact that the boss himself is sitting down at the table. The boss himself, Trump, is actually coming to do the eye-to-eye, the face-to-face. That measure of diplomacy puts the full weight of the Oval Office behind whatever is said. There is no carve-out. There is no exception. There is no possibility that someone said something out of turn because it's Trump saying it. That level of diplomacy brings a great deal of gravity and weight to what we're doing. There's that. Then there's the intelligence. I can't tell you what they've got in their hands right now, but I can tell you right now that somewhere in this meeting, there's going to be a sidebar, there's going to be an opportunity, there's going to be a mode in which they let it be known that they can see where Russian troop movements are, or they let it known that they can see what Russian troop capabilities are or are not. They're going to let it be known that they can see, you know, certain things that are like that that place you've got over there, the Dhaka on the Black Sea. You know, we know where all these things are. Those intelligence pieces that tell Russia we don't have the ability to hide are going to be huge. Also, intelligence that we can bring to bear. Things that are happening on the battlefield that we can advise against, don't do this thing because we see it developing. And then there's going to be military. Now, we're not putting the military option on the table for us, but I will say this, over recent months, he has actually watched that we've got a president right now who fully engages the military process when he is pushed to do so. Take a look at the bombing of Iran. The whole world saw it. In Iran, where are they now? They have gotten very quiet. They have. Iran was spanked and sent to their room without dinner. Putin knows that. And I don't think Putin is fearful that we're going to suddenly launch a military strike on Russia. However, what Trump has done, because the whole world knows we have military capabilities that nobody else has, nobody. What Trump has done is he's made sure that weapon systems have been made available. He's made sure that NATO has been strengthened. He's made sure that NATO nations are spending more of their GDP on their own defense. He's made sure that the NATO alliance is recognized and the European Union recognizes that the United States is a player. We will be there. But that we're also not going to just lose our shirt over this thing. And so that means he's also engaged the allies. And they've engaged the military sales process. And it is larger now, perhaps, than it ever was before. And then there's economics. Perhaps the thing that Putin fears the most, because Trump has already made known, he will come to the table. He will come to the table and have a talk. He will also bring sanctions. And he's proven to the world that he's okay with tariffs. He doesn't care who he tariffs. He tariffed Canada. He tariffed Great Britain. He tariffed Australia. He tariffed our allies. What do you think he's going to do to Putin? He's going to put massive tariffs on. He's going to make sure nobody, by the way, there'll be secondary tariffs. Nobody will buy Russian oil except maybe China. Nobody will be able to buy Russian goods. They will have to become a net importer because they won't be able to export anymore. All of that to say, every aspect of dime, D-I-M-E, diplomacy, intelligence, military, economics, it's a huge, huge deal. And that is being brought to bear all four at the same time at one table. Trump does not walk in half-cocked. I guarantee you he's studied the options. He's got plan A, B, C, and D. Maybe plan Z. I don't know. All I know is he has spent a lifetime walking into high-pressure meetings, negotiating terms that he was prepared for when he got there, fully understanding what it took to leverage his position so that he came out on top. What he's looking for right now is an end to the bloodshed. 1.2 million Russian service members casualty on the battlefield. 250,000 of those are dead. 80,000 Ukrainian troops dead, and another 14,000 civilians killed in Ukraine. The bloodshed's got to stop at some point. We're almost, I mean, we're right now looking at this thing lasting as long as World War II. So all that to say, Trump's bringing all aspects of dime to bear. Go have that water cooler conversation. Go be the expert with your friends. Go tell them that you heard it on Right Side Radio. And I'm just telling you right now, we do not come into this show half-cocked either. We try to bring all the information so you guys have what you need to make sure you can fuel those conversations and be the expert in the room when you do. All right, listen, we're going to wind up taking a break here momentarily. When we come back from this break, we're going to be heading into some JP on Sports, which, oh, by the way, also has the best sound effect of all of it. So listen, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.